in chapter number 17, and we're going to study a little bit tonight on the subject of a biblical friend. A biblical friend. Or you could say it this way, how to be a faithful friend, a Bible friend. The Bible has much to say about this thing of being a friend. And it's amazing how that the Bible will straighten out a lot of kinks in the way you think and in your theology and in your opinions about matters, just when it comes to simple things. The Bible, really, it has the answer to just about everything in life, and sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly. Some people will say, well, you know, the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not smoke cigarettes, you know. Well, it doesn't say it like that, but it has, I mean, other things, right? Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and therefore you're supposed to honor God with your body and all those sorts of things. So, but let's read here, Proverbs chapter number 17 and verse number 17, and then we'll get into this thought here tonight. The Bible says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Tonight we're going to look at biblical friendship, and it's more tonight than just companionship. It is what I would call tonight a commitment that you make with an individual. It is you being a courageous friend who is willing to correct. It is someone tonight who is compassionate, that is caring, that is Christ-like in the way that they operate, the way that they love. And so tonight, a faithful friend is someone who loves you consistently no matter what you do and where you have been and the things that you have been involved in. They are willing to correct you. They're willing to help you. The Bible says that a friend loveth at all times. And can I say tonight, everybody needs a friend. Some people say, I don't need any friends. You know, I can just kind of live life on my own. I don't really need anybody. You didn't get that from the Bible. You got that from your prideful heart tonight. Because there are some things in life that money cannot buy. There are some things tonight that education cannot provide you, and your, no matter how successful you are, it will not replace having a godly, biblical friend. Everybody here tonight needs some friends in their life, and I've learned that you can have hundreds and even thousands of acquaintances and still be lonely. Did you know tonight that you can have thousands of followers on Facebook or Twitter or Snapchat or Instagram and still have nobody who truly really knows you? Really not have somebody that you can sit down with and share life with. Did you know tonight that you can sit down in a crowded room and still wish that there was one person in that room that you could call your friend and share your heart with? It's amazing how that in crowds of people, people can feel so lonely. The Bible has much to say about friendship tonight, and God never intended us to live our lives completely isolated to ourselves. I understand sometimes we like to be loners and we like to be by ourselves, and there's times for that. Jesus went apart. And if you don't go apart, you'll come apart, amen? But you can't live like that all the time, just like you can't live on a mountaintop. You can always live in a valley. Life's full of seasons and there's different times of life. But the Bible does say that a friend loveth at all times and a brother is born for adversity. Notice there in the verse that it does not say that a friend loves when everything is going well. The Bible says that a friend loveth at all times. There are true friends, faithful friends tonight, and then there's what I would call fair weather friends. A fair weather friend loves you when you're winning. They love you when you're doing good. They love you when you're popular. But a faithful friend loves you when you're not winning, when you're wounded. They love you when you've messed up, when you've fallen. A fair weather friend celebrates when you are successful in life. But a faithful Bible friend stays beside you in your sorrow and in your tears. A fair weather friend tells you what you want to hear. But a Bible friend, a faithful biblical friend, tells you what you need to hear. And the greatest friend that you will have on this earth tonight is not just someone that sits with you, a physical person. We're going to get to it tonight in the message, but lest you, amen, walk out and think I'm just preaching about people tonight, there's one person that if you don't have a friend, I know one person that will be your friend. And His name is Jesus, amen. He is the one who is the faithful friend. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So let's look at it tonight. Number one, I want to show you tonight the blessings of a faithful, biblical friend. Look at Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to look at some verses here in the Bible when it comes to this thing of friendship. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 24. The Bible says this, "A man that hath friends must show himself what? Friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." The Bible does not present friendship as just some trivial matter. You know what friendship is? Friendship's a blessing. I'm glad, I thank God I got some friends. Someone said if you can count on really one hand, your true friends, you're a blessed individual. Now there's a lot of acquaintances and people that would say I'm your friend or you're my friend, but I'm talking about true friends. The blessing of faithful friends. You know what I found out? The closer I get to Jesus Christ, and the more in tune I get in the house of God and in church, I realize God gives me more friends. It's amazing how that happens. But did you know tonight that thing is a two-way street? Some people just say, well, I just don't have any friends at that church. Well, the Bible does say a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. The reason why some people don't have friends is because they're not friendly, but they blame it on everybody else, right? It's a two-way street. So number one, let's look here on this blessing of a faithful friend. Number one, a friend, what's a friend look like? What does the Bible say about friends? Number one, a faithful friend is a friend who is present with you. They're present. A true friend does not disappear when your troubles arrive, and they're going to arrive in your life. The Bible said there, Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth when? At all times. Anybody can be present for the party, right? Anybody can be there when the times are good, but the question is, who's going to stay with you when there's pain involved? When the storm happens? Anybody can celebrate with you when you get the promotion at work and you got some more money and you're going to go out and play, amen, on Friday night at the restaurant and they say, man, I'm buying. Well, who wants to be their friend, man? Sign me up, man. My friend's going to take me out to eat, pay for it. Right? It's easy. I'm just saying that's easy to be someone's friend when they're in the promotion stage of life, successful. But what about when they lose their job and they need you to give them some money? They need you to loan them a car. They need you to pick them up, amen. Slide them a 50 for a tank of gas. So you say 20, but that ain't going to get you much these days, amen. You say anybody can laugh when life is easy, but you want that person who will cry with you during the difficult times. Someone that will, when you're walking down the road and you have one umbrella, and there's two of you, and you pop the umbrella out when it starts to storm. You know what happens when you have a real friend? You get close together, amen. Somehow y'all figure out how to get out from underneath that rain, amen. Even though the umbrella may not be very big, I mean, Brother Bo and I, we might be walking down the street and have a small umbrella. We're going to get awfully close during the storm. You understand? You see, when the storm comes, you become closer together. And it doesn't make the storm go away. But it just brings you closer together because you say, come over here, let's get out of the storm together. Let's walk together. How can two walk together except they be agreed? That's what a faithful friend does. They are people who are present. But not only are they present, a faithful friend is one who is persistent. Look at Proverbs. The Bible says there in Proverbs, at the end of that verse, it says, there's a friend that does what? Sticketh closer than a brother. That word sticketh, it carries the idea of they stay attached. They're not going anywhere. A faithful friend doesn't walk away just because you had a bad day. And everybody's going to have a bad day. Somebody said, I don't ever have bad days. That's not true. Everybody has a bad day. But they don't abandon you because you made a mistake, because you weren't a good friend. They stick closer than a brother. They don't throw the friendship away just because you disagree on something. Did you know I'm an expert on my opinion? And you are too. Amen. We're always right. We think we're right. But sometimes we're wrong. And just because you have a friend that you say they're wrong and they say, no, you're wrong, doesn't matter. There's going to be differences. But you just say, you know what? I love you even though you're wrong. And they say, well, I love you too even though you're wrong. You see, they're persistent. You just can't really get rid of them. Why? Because they're a true friend. Amen. They love you because you are imperfect. I don't really want perfect friends. Why? Because I'm not perfect. I need some broken people in my life. And that's what we are. We're broken. And a faithful friend is one who is present and they are persistent. Not only that, a faithful friend, you know what they are? They're protective. They are protective individual. A real friend, they don't just protect your feelings. A real friend, they will protect your future. They believe in you. They pray for you. They have invested in you, amen. If they see you walking towards the cliff, I mean, if the road is out, if the bridge is out in the road and you're going down the road, amen, they don't say to you as you're driving down the road at 70 miles an hour and they know the bridge is out, man, and they know you're not paying much attention, they don't say, well, I just don't want to offend him and tell him he needs to slow down, turn around, that the bridge is out. No, man, they tell him the truth. They're going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And if your friend is about to make a decision that will destroy their marriage, there's times when my friends have made decisions. There was a man I texted today. Can I read you the text message? He's a friend, and he's not right with God. I mean, he is not right with God. He's living in sin. And he texted me yesterday, and to be honest with you, I wanted to be a good friend. He said, what I told him, I said, brother, I said, I'm doing good. It's been a busy few weeks. I've been preaching every service for the past few weeks, minus last Wednesday. I said, I'm praying for you that you will live close and clean again. My heart is burdened for you. And I gave him the verse, faithful are the wounds of a friend. You see, he's going the wrong direction. And I told him, I said, I'm praying that one of these days that you'll get your life straightened up and you will live close and clean again. Sometimes we see things that they're going to destroy their marriage, destroy their testimony, destroy their family, destroy their walk with God, destroy whatever, fill in the blank, and it's not our job to be silent about it. We're to speak up. Why? Because we are protective. We are protecting something that we cherish, and we cherish a friendship because those are people. They're individuals that we love and we have invested in and we prayed for. So number one, there's the blessing of a faithful friend. But then number two, I want you to see the behavior of a faithful friend. You see, if the Bible tells us what a friend is, it also tells us how to be one. It doesn't leave us hanging. Because the Bible is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. And maybe tonight you may be praying, Lord, give me a faithful friend. God, I need a friend. Would you give me a friend, Lord? But maybe tonight the better prayer for you is this, Lord, make me a faithful friend. Because a man that hath friends must show himself what? Friendly. Sometimes things happen in our life and we close off our life and we don't want to open up. We get vulnerable. You know, when you have a friend, you get vulnerable because you open yourself up to people. And guess what? Every time I've been hurt in life, you know who hurt me? People. But the Bible says if you're going to have a friend, you must show yourself friendly. And God gives us some ways that we ought to behave as a friend. And I want to have some right friends. Number one, I want to be available. Be available. Friendship requires presence. You cannot build a relationship with somebody from a distance, even though you have differences in your life, while never giving anyone your time. You have to spend time with people. The Lord Jesus demonstrated this. When Jesus walked on this earth, you know what he did? He spent time with people. He was accused. They said, this man is a friend of sinners. He sitteth down and he eats with sinners. You said, what was he doing? He was being their friend. Now listen, the Lord Jesus, he walked with people and he ate with people and he talked with people and he listened to people and he ministered to people. And sometimes the greatest gift that you can give someone isn't money. It's not advice. It's not a solution. It is just simply saying, hey, I'm here. I'm available. Show up and be there. Jim Elliot said, wherever you are, be all there. Be there. Be all there. You see, there's times in our life and, you know, talking about being present, there are moments when words are just not enough. When someone has lost a loved one and someone dies, maybe a father or a mother or a child, and you may not know what to say. And by the way, don't think you always have to say something. Sometimes the best thing to do is not to say anything. When someone's lost somebody and you want to say something and you're trying to say something, sometimes, and I understand, sometimes people just think they have to say something, but when you're going through a storm and a crisis, you might not have the answer. Most of the time, we really don't have the answer. But when someone's heart is broken and someone is going through a storm, you're not going to be able to fix it. But I tell you what you can do. You can go and sit beside them. Because sometimes your presence says, you don't have to carry this alone. I know you feel alone. I know you're broken. I know you're in a storm. I know your life's in a million pieces. But guess what? I don't have anything to say to you. I don't know what to say. I can't fix it. I can't change the situation. But I tell you what I can do. I can be right here and available to you. Reminds me of my friend Josh Harris. When I went through one of the greatest storms of my life, back in the early, 15, 16 years ago, my life was turned upside down. And I won't give you the details of it, but I'm telling you, the very next day, someone had called Brother Josh. He drove all the way down through the night, early morning. And that morning in Portales, New Mexico, when I was pastoring that church, I got a knock on my door. And I opened the door. My heart was broken in a million pieces. And there my friend from Bible college was, Brother Josh. And I was shocked, you know, well, what are you doing, brother, you know? He said, I just came to spend the day with you. He didn't ask me what happened. He didn't ask me all the details. He had already known some things that happened. And he knew my heart was broken. We went out and ate. I embraced him. We hugged him. We cried. But he spent the day with me, amen. We were available. He was available to me. Not only be available, but number two, if you're going to be the kind of a biblical friend, be authentic. Brother John Yaw said yesterday, he said to me, he said, I like people that are real. Me too. I want to be real. And I want real friends. A faithful friend does not live behind a facade, a mask. Look at Proverbs 27, verse number 9. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, ointment, Proverbs 27, verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Real friendship requires honesty. You don't need someone who tells you everything is wonderful when everything is falling apart. You know what you need? You need someone who loves you enough to tell you the truth. It's like if you're standing in front of a mirror. A mirror does not lie. Unless it's one of those fake mirrors that, you know, Ripley's Believe It or Not. But I'm just talking about a normal mirror. A mirror just simply tells you, amen, what's going on? It's just the truth. When you look at yourself in the mirror and you see someone that's overweight, you can't get mad at the mirror, just telling you the truth. Amen. Or you see someone that needs to fix their hair. Or someone, you know, one of you ladies, you know, you messed up your makeup, you know, there's a blemish. Right? I'm just saying, amen, it's not the mirror's fault. The mirror just revealed it. And a faithful friend can sometimes function as your spiritual mirror. They just simply stand before you and they just tell you what they see. It's a reflection because they love you, not because they're trying to hurt you, right? They might say, brother, that's not right. Sister, that I know you made a mistake, but this is the truth. Where you been? Why haven't you been in church? Why are you allowing bitterness to control your life? Why aren't you praying anymore? Hey, you need to pray. You need to make this right. That, amen. Don't be so cruel. Watch your mouth. Whatever it might be tonight, that's what a friend does, because they are authentic and courageous love, authentic love. Amen. The Bible says this, the kisses of an enemy are what? Deceitful. Sometimes we want a friend that's going to tell us things that we don't need to hear. But the Bible says that a friend, if you're going to be a true biblical friend, you got to be available. You got to be authentic. Number three, you got to be accountable. Faithful friends help each other stay faithful. Did you know that? Faithful friends help each other stay in the fight. There's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. We need each other. That's why you need church, because we are a body. We are an assembly. And we're not in this thing alone. Proverbs 27:17 says this, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Iron does not sharpen iron by setting 6 feet apart. Iron must make contact. There must be friction. There must be interaction. And sometimes friendships create friction in our life, because God is using a person to do what? To sharpen you. That's why sometimes sparks fly. Is that they're not my real friend? Maybe they are. That real friend sometimes will make sparks fly in your life. Because iron sharpeneth iron. When you sharpen iron, you got to remove some things. Right? And sparks fly. But when that thing is done, it's sharp. A dull knife is not sharpened by just encouraging it. Right? I mean, really. If I got my pocket knife here, I don't set my pocket knife out and say, hey, listen, I need you to get sharp. I know you're dull. It's been a while since you've been on the whetstone, but listen, I don't want to hurt you. And I don't want to, you know, put some friction up on the whetstone there. So you just stay right there and just get sharp, man. That's not how you do it. You don't do it by encouragement. It's got to encounter something. And that encounter, you know, what it does, it's like sparks. It's like iron that hits, amen. And that's the same, it's true spiritually in your life. God puts people in your life so they can challenge you, encourage you, correct you, reprove you, rebuke you, sharpen you, amen. That's what we do. We're a body, and sometimes don't get offended because somebody might come up to you if you've missed 2 or 3 Sundays and say, hey, where you been, man? That ain't none of your business. You tell your wife, yeah, man, they're trying to butt into my business. No, they love you. They just want to try to help you. If they see something in your life that you're doing that's wrong, amen, a friend will make your life, by the way, a friend doesn't always make your life easy. Everybody wants the easy way, but they might not make your life easy in the moment, but they're going to make it better in the long run. So a friend not only is accountable, number three, I want you to see here tonight, the Bible speaks about the wounding of a false friend. Now sometimes we come to this painful truth that sometimes friends can hurt us. Friends will hurt you deeply. Sometimes the deepest wounds don't come from your enemies. They come from people that you trusted. Look at Psalms 55. It's nothing new. I'm telling you, the Bible has answers. In Psalms 55 tonight, I want you to see this. David had a man named Ahithophel, who was one of his counselors. Which, by the way, Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. And Ahithophel, because of what David did with Uriah and Bathsheba, this counselor, this man Ahithophel, got bitter at David. Was David wrong? Yes. Did David get judged by God? Yes. God took care of David, and it was the prophecy of Nathan the prophet was fulfilled. But David was a man after God's own heart, and David, the Bible says that David, he was a great sinner. But he was also a great repenter, and David was not a repeat offender. He never did it again. Some people, they get right, and I mean on Monday, they go back to the same hog pen that they repented of on Sunday morning and Sunday night. That was not David. True repentance does not do that. But Ahithophel got bitter at David because he took his granddaughter, Bathsheba, laid with her, killed her husband, and he went from being a godly counselor to a man who joined the rebellion that was led by David's own son, Absalom. You say, what happened with Absalom and with Ahithophel? Both of them ended up dead. Absalom died. Ahithophel died by suicide because of bitterness. And David, because of this rebellion against him, because of what he had done, even though he had repented. In Psalm 55, verse number 12, look at what David said. The Bible says here in verse number 12, he said, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him." Look at verse 13. "But it was thou, a man equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company." Have you ever had somebody like that, that's what you did with? "Let death seize upon them and let them go down quickly into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them." I'm telling you, David knew something. He describes this pain of betrayal by someone who was close to him, someone that one time was his friend, and that kind of wound will cut you deeply. It is heartbreaking to see a friend walk away and destroy their own lives while they are trying to destroy your life because of a bitterness or because of revenge or because of misinformation, all rooted in this thing of bitterness. And so sometimes it's a friend that will wound you. Friendships, many times, friends can wound you through betrayal. The closer the relationship that you have with someone, the deeper the potential wound that takes place in your life. A stranger can betray your confidence if you let them in and you become a friend. But I'm telling you tonight, really, the one that really betrays you is the one that you let in, amen, and you loved them and you cared for them and you trusted them. And now they turn their back on you. But a friend, you know what they do? They have access to your life. And you open up to them and you become very vulnerable when you have a friend. You tell them things that you don't tell anybody else. Many times with a friend, you reveal your heart. You share your struggles. You even share some deepest, darkest secrets. Things that you're trying to bear and you don't feel like you can maybe tell someone in your family because your family wouldn't understand. And maybe it's a struggle with a marriage. You think, if I tell my mom and my dad and we get right, they'll treat him different. And you don't really have anybody to unload on. So with a real friend, sometimes you unload on them and then that trust is violated. And when it's violated, the wound is very, very severe because they betray you. Expect an enemy to carry a weapon, but you don't expect your friend to be holding a knife. As you walk, and sometimes that knife gets stabbed in the back, and it's the betrayal that hurts so deeply. The problem isn't just what happened. The problem is not that they stabbed you in the back. The problem and the hurt, it's because of who did it. It was a friend. It's the greatest hurt that a man could experience is the closest friends in his life whom he loved and served with, and now they're the ones that betrayed him. That's why David was so broken in Psalm 55, because of what Ahithophel had done. He said, if it was my enemy, I could have borne it. It would have been okay. But man, it was my friend. It was my counselor. He said, we went to the house of God together. We worshiped together. We prayed together. We shouted together. We loved preaching together. God showed up and we cried together. And now this man has hurt me because it's a wound. It goes down into the deep innermost parts of a man and a woman. So a friend's wound you through betrayal. Not only that, friends wound you through abandonment. Paul experienced this. In 2 Timothy 4:16, Paul said this, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." Imagine standing alone when you expected someone to stand beside you. Paul, the man who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, is now at the end of his life, and he's having to die pretty much alone. He did say, only Luke is with me. Only one man. Where's everybody else? He said at my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. Sometimes people promise, I'll be there, sister. I'll be there, brother. I'll never forsake you. But when the pressure comes, you know where they're at? They're gone. They're gone. They make a selfish choice to join someone else because misery loves company. And a faithful friend is proven not by what they promise in peaceful times, but what they do in painful seasons of life. When the pain comes and the storm comes and your world is turned upside down, your real friends will be the ones who stay and love you no matter what season you're in. Friends will wound you through abandonment. Friends can wound you through wrong counsel. Not every person who calls himself or herself your friend is good for you. Some friends will encourage your worst impulses. They'll say, go ahead, do it. Smoke that, drink that. Everybody does it. It ain't going to hurt you. It's not that bad. You deserve it. Don't worry about what God says about it. It's not that big of a deal. We're living in different times. You know, it's a different dispensation. I mean, listen, you can quote 1 John 1:9, get forgiveness. God, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, it's time for you to get even. You hear the bad counsel? Do what just makes you happy. It's not friendship. That is destruction, wearing the clothing of someone that's not your friend, they're just a companion. 1 Corinthians 15:33 reminds us that evil communications corrupt what? Good manners. Bad advice will mess you up. That's how they betray you and they harm you with things that you don't need to hear. Turn your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 13. I want to show you something. 2 Samuel chapter 13, there's another example here. In 2 Samuel chapter number 13, very sobering passage of Scripture. And we don't have time tonight to preach all of this, but it'll be enough, amen, to give us what God wants us to have tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her." It should have stopped there. He knew this wasn't right. There was red flags going on in his life. You say, what pushed him over the edge? Look at verse 3. "But Amnon had a friend whose name was" what? "Jonadab, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother." And Jonadab was a very subtle man. You know who else was subtle? Genesis 3? Satan. And you can read the rest of the story there, and we see that it doesn't turn out well. And you say, what pushed him over the edge? A bad friend. You better make sure you have the right kind of friends in your life. Because Amnon had a friend, and it wasn't really his friend, but he called himself a friend. And Jonadab caused, amen, some really, really grievous things in Tamar's life and Amnon's life. And man, I'm telling you, this is just, sin is shakening. Sin, amen, it don't play fair. Sin, amen, will make you stupid. Number 4, I want you to see here the wisdom of a faithful friend. We see one of the most beautiful characteristics of biblical friendship is that a faithful friend will wound you for your own good. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, turn your Bible back there in Proverbs 27, in verse number 5 and 6. The Bible says, "Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." What a powerful statement. What a powerful verse of Scripture. The Bible says that there are times when the wounds of a friend are faithful. Now, we've talked about the wounds of a friend when they hurt you and there's malice involved and there's bitterness involved and they're trying to destroy you or they're encouraging you to go off and to do something that God is against. But the Bible says that there's times when you have a true friend that they do wound you, but it's not in the same way. They will hurt you, but they will not harm you. They are helping you through their wounds. There are some conversations that are uncomfortable, but they are necessary because faithful friends, number one, faithful friends will correct you. They will say, that ain't right. A faithful friend doesn't say whatever you want. They say whatever's right. There's a difference. You see, they're willing to offend you. They don't love you if they're trying to encourage you to do wrong. Love doesn't always whisper, does it? Sometimes love confronts you. I mean, if you go to the doctor and there's something in your body like cancer or an illness, and you go to the doctor does not stand back and say, well, you know, I know there's a big old tumor that's the size of a grapefruit, you know, in the back of his brain, but I just don't really want to offend him by telling him. Amen? How many of us, there's something in somebody's life as big as a grapefruit, and you don't want to say anything because you know it's going to hurt their feelings. So a faithful friend, they will correct you. Not only that, they will counsel you. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 9, it speaks of hearty counsel. A good friend doesn't just give you opinions, and there's a lot of opinions. We all have them, don't we? I think Brother Clark said the other day, you know, I've heard it before. He said, you know, we all got an opinion. They're like armpits, you know. We all got a couple, and they all stink, right? Amen. That's the truth. Everybody has an opinion about something. But a real friend, they will counsel you. They seek wisdom. They want to point you to what God says in His words. And before you make any major decisions, they don't ask, well, what do you want? They say, hey, you need to find out what God wants. What does God want? He said, man, I got this good job offer over here. And man, I'm going to be making double the amount of money. And I mean, I'm getting the whole package and all the benefits. And someone that's not really a friend, they'll say, oh yeah, man, you ought to go for it. Make some more money. But you know what a real friend will say? Is there a good church in that town? I mean, did you even check that out first? Are you just going to go over there, amen, and just make this decision? No, find out what God wants. I promise you this, if there ain't a good church over there, it don't matter how much money you're making and how fun you're having, amen, and how big the farm is, how big the house is, how much land you got, all the packets and everything, amen. If there's no church there, I got newsflash for you, amen. God is not in it. Amen. You see, that's not popular, but it's the truth. A friend will tell you, hey, this is the truth. God has a will for your life, and God will never lead you contrary to what His Word says. Friends, a faithful biblical friend will counsel you. Not only that, they will challenge you. As I've said, iron sharpeneth iron. They want to challenge you to become more like Christ. Number five here, I'm almost done. It's right at 8 o'clock. Give me just two or three more minutes here. I want you to, because I got to get to Jesus, amen? And we'll end on this one. There's the friendship of Jesus. The greatest friend of all is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just a friend, He's a faithful friend. He's an eternal friend. Turn your Bible to John 15 and we'll close here. John 15 and verse number 13. This is the words of the Lord Jesus. And by the way, there's much more I could have said. This is not an exhaustive study on friends. But Jesus said this in John 15, verse number 13. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said, ye are my friends, if ye do whatever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. I like the fact that Jesus said, henceforth I call you not servants, but I've called you friends. This friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Creator, and he calls redeemed sinners like you and I friends. He's the friend that seeks us. The Bible says about him that he seeks and saves that which was lost. He came after us. We were wandering, and he called us. We were separated from God, and he reconciled us. We were the sheep that had gone astray, and he searched for us, and the Savior came for sinners. The fact that the God of the world, the one that spoke it all into existence, would come down to you and I as wretched and as miserable and as wicked as we are, and he would allow us to be his friend. He sought us. Not only that, Jesus is a friend not that seeks us, but he stays with us. Human friends sometimes leave, don't they? But Jesus doesn't. People change, but Jesus doesn't. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, the Bible says, I am the Lord God, I change not. He doesn't change. People may forget you, but Jesus won't. People may abandon you, but Jesus will stay faithful. He said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's a friend who saves. Not only is he a friend who saves, but he's a friend who sanctifies. He cares about how we live. He loves us too much to leave us like we are. Amen. He came that we might be more like him. He's a friend. He loves us. He listens to us. He lifts us up. Amen. And he leads us. One of these days he's going to lead us home into that place that he's prepared for us, the place called heaven. I had some things that I wrote down here, and I want to see if I can find them. I'm skipping to the end here because I had some things about friendships. Number one, a friend is someone who walks in when everybody else walks out. Not only that, let me say number two, a friend is someone who ignores your broken fence, but they admire your flowers in the garden. A man's friendships are one of the best measures of his real worth. Friends are those rare people who ask how we are, and then they wait to hear the answer. You ever heard somebody say, how you doing? And they walk away. They don't really want to hear. They're just making conversation, right? A friend knows the song in my heart, and he sings it to me when my money fails. It's the friend that you can call up at 3 a.m. that really matters. I would rather walk with a friend in the dark than walk alone in the light. There's nothing better than a friend, unless it's a friend with Starbucks, amen? Or chocolate, or whatever you like. A true friend is someone who thinks you're a good egg, even though he knows you're slightly cracked. True friends aren't the ones who make your problems disappear, but they're the ones who won't disappear when you're facing your problems. Amen. Thank God for the true Bible friends, and thank God for our Heavenly Father, who is our friend, and sent His Son, who is our friend, and He sent us the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which is our friend. And we don't have to walk through this life alone. Amen. We can go through this life with Him and some others, amen, that want to be like Him. Amen. God bless you, Father. I pray tonight that you would take the things that we've said, the things that we've preached, the things that we've taught, and Lord, use it in our lives to help us to be a better friend, a faithful, biblical friend. And Father, help us, Lord, in the areas of our friendship, the area of our life, when we struggle, things that we need to work on, things that we need to be reminded of tonight because of what the Bible says about it. Father, I desire to be a better friend to my friends. And Father, forgive me, Lord, when I've let them down and I've hurt them needlessly. Father, I don't want to hurt people. Father, I want to be a blessing and I want to be a load lifter like an old Barnabas, the encourager, the son of consolation. Father, help us all to be encouragers in a world full of discouragement. And Father, help us to shine the gospel light to a lost and dying world and point every sinner that we come in contact with to that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. will thank you and praise you for loving us and dying for us, being buried and rising again the third day. And Lord, one of these days you're coming for us so we can go to heaven and, Father, spend eternity worshiping with our friends around the throne. And Lord, I long for that day. I cherish that day in my heart. Father, we ask all this tonight in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.